Welcome, everyone. This is another episode of your favorite podcast, Contact Lost. We talk about competitive Warhammer 40K, both in Poland and abroad. And today, in today's episode, we will have a look at the changes from the data slate. We will look at them from the time perspective, but we will focus specifically on one aspect or one kind of armies that were the beneficiaries of the data slate. And I'm talking about the power armor armies, all of them, or the majority of them. To do that, and to accompany me in this topic, I have my trusty co-host, Joker.
Hey, guys.
Hi, dude. And the two guests from Poland who I guess we can call them power armor enjoyers, I give you Pumba.
Hello, everybody.
And Asarnil.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Thanks again for joining, for agreeing to come to talk to us. So the formula for today's episode will be as follows. Pumba is known in Poland to be an expert on Space Marines, even though he's been playing and tinkering with Thousand Suns, Tau recently, or even Tyranids. I think Space Marines are his specialty, so we will treat Pumba as the go-to person for anything Space Marine oriented. We have Joker, who has also been tinkering with multiple armies and been successful with multiple armies, but one of his main armies are the Thousand Suns, so we will treat him as the expert for the Thousand Suns. And then we have Asarnil, who has the aspiration, and I think is there already, the best Death Guard player in Poland. So we have three power armor enthusiasts, and we are going to focus on whether these armies can be successful now. Do they have a place in the meta, or not very much? But before we get there, you know, guys, what have you been up to? Pumba, what have you been doing recently? Any successes? Any hobbying successes? What's up?
Well, I'm literally painting my army for the upcoming Prague team tournament right now as we are speaking and we are talking. Cool. So that's the thing that's going on in my life. Like I think I've painted like 9 hours this week and it's Thursday.
Okay.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. I mean, yeah.
True. I think that makes it more impressive.
Yeah, you lost track of time.
that is a thing. So I'm a little bit tired because of that, but at the same time, at least I'm gonna have my Thousand Suns ready for Prague and after that as well. I think I have like three tournaments this month, beginning in the Challenger paired tournaments in Katowice. Then we had a local tournament in Krakow, which I've managed to win actually, which was quite nice. That was last Sunday, and now the Prague is coming up. So quite intense in terms of hobbying.
Quite intense. And then, if I remember correctly, you have been nominated as one of the members of the Polish national team. Is that correct?
That is true, yes.
That is so cool, and I'm so jealous. So, all right, so we'll get to that probably in a moment. But yeah, congrats on the tournament. And can you maybe reveal what you're going to take to the tournaments that you mentioned?
Yes, the lists are up for the Prague team tournament, and I am bringing Thousand Suns with me.
Awesome. So you will be supporting Joker today with some views on where the Thousand Suns are.
Gladly.
Awesome. All right, Joker, what's up with you?
I feel like I've been up to a lot, and at the same time, not much. I've really pushed myself on the hobbying side with the Chaos Knights, so I'm hoping to get a lot more of those done in the near future. And I've also been playing quite a bit with them on TTS, so that's just getting to know the army better and coming up with new things and see how they fit in the meta. I don't think I've attended any tournaments recently. When did we have that local tournament in Rumia? That was like 30th of what you call it, April.
Yeah. So almost 3 weeks ago.
That was my last tournament attendance, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah. So you didn't go to the overnight tournament, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. And by the way, guys, if you want to see Joker's, one of the Joker's Chaos Knights is up on our Instagram, I think, with very cool pictures, very cool knight, so give it a look. And last but not least, Asarnil, what have you been up to?
Well, not much, to be honest. In my gaming world, there was not a lot of tournaments. I visited you guys a couple of weeks ago, but since then, only a couple of games here locally in Torun. But I'm really excited about June. We'll have two major tournaments in Poland, one in Warsaw, one in Bydgoszcz. And I'm very much preparing myself to attend both of them.
So we'll meet in Bydgoszcz, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do.
So Joker, you're coming as well. Pumba, are you going to Bydgoszcz?
I don't believe so, because of the sheer amount of tournaments happening recently. I'm skipping that one after attending Warsaw.
Okay. Well, that's a shame, but I guess we will cover this one, and then we will definitely drag you in for Prague coverage or one of the other ones that you're attending, because your itinerary is quite packed from what we hear. Anyway, we were supposed to talk about your Power Armor armies in the context of the data slate. So when the data slate was coming out, I think it was very much expected, very much needed. The meta was a very hostile place, and the game needed some tweaks. Now, the question to you guys, and I'll start with you, Pumba. What were your immediate thoughts when you saw Armor of Contempt, when you saw the changes to Indirect Fire, Lookout Sir, and so on and so on? Were Space Marines your immediate thought, or did you think, I don't know, oh my god, Custodes got beaten up?
The sheer range of the data slate surprised me very much. I was expecting it to be decent or at least impactful because of just the sheer state of the meta that the game was in, but I did not expect such far-reaching changes in every direction of the game, to be honest. I think after that, I would be inclined to say that we are in a 9.5 edition. And that is because not the direct changes to some armies, but the general things of bodyguard change and as well as out of line of sight shooting. I think we had an episode on this very podcast that we discussed the mechanics of 9th yep. edition and things we didn't like.
The
and
most these were hated ones.
Exactly. These were literally the most hated mechanics. I think we've mentioned that they are they are bad for the game, and they are abusable in many ways that make the game not enjoyable, and they are now gone, essentially. I mean, the out of line of sight shooting is not gone, technically gone, but it actually is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the changes that I think impact the game as a whole the most and will stay with us for the longest. As for the buffs to armies, I think Armor of Contempt definitely made an impact on me because I was playing Thousand Suns previously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that I immediately jumped on. And I think there's a quote of me saying something like, oh my god, give me those 30 Terminators and let's go. because that looked so good at the time.
Yeah, suffice to say, it didn't age that well.
It is kind of foreshadowing, right? That I said at the time.
Yep.
But yeah, it is definitely impactful, and many of the changes that were introduced, I think, are still being figured out, actually.
Yeah, true. Although, if you look at, I don't know, the Metamundays or the Goonhammer or just sheer results of tournaments internationally, it seems like there is a resurgence of Power Armor, or, well, at least you see more of them right now, because from what I've seen, Blood Angels took second place, I think it was Dallas, against Nick Nanavati, which is still a good result. very good result. There was John Damaris playing his Dark Angels, if I remember correctly, friend of the podcast, so good on him. I think Sisters are now being brought to tournaments, which was quite uncommon at some point. You didn't see them during any major tournaments, so it seems like this has changed quite a lot. But I don't know. Asarni, you tell me.
Well, to answer your question, Twig, when we saw the new patch coming up, I was still traumatized after the chapter approved changes to death cards. So my only hope was that Games Workshop will not nerf death card anymore. So I was super happy that they didn't, and there are quite a few changes and quite impactful ones to death card, not only Armor of Contempt, but also objective secure on Terminators, which is really, really lovely. Like Pumba said, I think the impact of this data slate will feel for a long time, and we'll still be discovering some new ways of playing after a couple of weeks or months, even when it appeared. So I'm super happy that that the Games Workshop did what they did. I don't agree fully with the statement that we are in a good place with the meta, or almost a good place, because I think Dranitz is still a cancer. But it's definitely a better place than before. It's a good change.
Okay. Joker, you, as our expert on Thousand Suns, well, you haven't immediately jumped on Thousand Suns. Is it because simply the Chaos Knights Codex came out, or you were not convinced by the changes?
Well, I don't know. I think it was just a matter of fact that I was toying with Eldar at the time and hoping to focus on that. Then they gave me a workshop that is previewed the Chaos Knights, which I'm obviously also a huge fan of. But I mean, I did take Thousand Suns to the local tournament we had, so just to try out and see if the changes are in fact impactful. So that's that. I wasn't immediately convinced that's going to make that much of a difference, but it was obviously a welcome buff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my next question was actually whether you guys had a chance to put those, you know, new rules to test. And Joker, since you've sort of segued into the tournament, I understand that yes, you have. So what was your impression? What games did you play, and how did the new rules come into play? Did they actually come into play?
They did. I think they did. Severely improved the survivability of Terminators, which I think were an obvious beneficent of this buff, because essentially it's like a +1 to their armor save. Because I think that the units that would benefit the most out of this were units that had a 2-up save already, because obviously they just ignore AP1 effectively and still save on 2-ups. So I did play against Custodes in the first game, where I've made a couple of mistakes. Most importantly, I've chosen the wrong secondaries. I never liked taking to the last with Thousand Suns, because I don't like having the only unit that is any offensive threat as also a unit that is your to the last choice. That mm-hmm. feels risky, but I should have had more faith in them, and that's something I should have taken against those Custodes. And the same issues came up that were already there in that pairing. So you can't really spread out, so you have to play KG, and once you play KG, the Custodes army just racks up points and primary, etc., and it's, you sometimes don't have enough time to bounce back up. So that hasn't really changed. What else did I play? I've played Death Watch, but we didn't manage to finish the game on time. I think we've played two or three rounds. The score was fairly close at the time, but if we'd played the next two rounds, it would be much more in my favor. Obviously, they've got Armor of Contempt as well. Was a bit annoying to experience that on the receiving end, I guess.
Opposite end, yeah.
Yeah, not sure if that's the right phrase if you're talking about saving throws. You're not really receiving anything there. Never mind that. So that was that. So, well, obviously both armies benefit, so it doesn't seem to change that much. I mean, you just die more slowly on both ends. And then I've played against Imperial Knights, so also a pairing that's not really good for Thousand Suns because they've got limited ways of killing them. But because the terrain was pretty dense, I've managed to grab a small win in that game. And obviously, again, Armor of Contempt made a bit of difference because you can take Magira shooting a bit better, but it doesn't matter if you roll a one anyway, because that's just a dead Terminator. But yeah, throughout the tournament, I've never had a full unit of Terminators die, so I guess that's an improvement that we could have foreseen, but it's just not, feels like it's just not enough to make the army a serious meta threat.
Okay. That's a statement that we will see if it holds against what Pumbaa and Nazarene have to say. So Pumbaa, what about you? What have you brought to the battlefield after the data slate?
Because of the state of the game and the unsolved meta that we are in, I've actually been testing quite extensively, I think. I might have played around 10 games, or maybe more like 12 games since the data slate came out, and both with Thousand Suns and with Blood Angels. These are the two power armored armies that I've been testing for this time, like for this period of time. And I've got to say, I am quite disappointed in the performance of the Thousand Suns. I was super excited about the change. The thing is, the change did not give you enough to counteract the fact that you are losing in the meta. What I mean by that is there are armies that are very tough matchups, and they are plentiful at the moment. The appearance of the new Tyranids, I think, makes it even worse than previously. And another aspect of that is definitely the reappearance of the Sisters of Battle, which have always been a tough matchup for any Space Marine army, Thousand Suns included, or even probably the worst matchup for them, possibly because of the rights. How are they called? Rights of. Basically, they can just completely shut down your psychic phase by rolling fives, right? Which is a complete nonsense if you are playing against that army. In result, we have a situation where the army should be good on paper, but has like at least five or maybe six really difficult matchups in the meta, and all of them are consistently played across tournaments. We are talking Sisters, we are talking Kraftwerk Eldar, we are talking Tyranids, probably Knights, as you are not very good into large amount of high toughness targets. Generally, this is the difficulty of the army currently. I think it is built on solid basis, but there are way too many difficult matchups for you to deal with.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I have a question in relation to that, and I will also be curious about Asarnil's answer to this, but Death Guard Terminators received objective security. So, Asarnil, your impressions after playing a couple of games on the new, or using the new data slate, has this change been a significant one for you?
Well, it definitely impacted my games, but unfortunately, I'm not sure if you guys would agree with me, but it improves the matchups that are already okay, and it doesn't help for the matchups that are just terrible. From my side, I played against Necrons, against Space Marines, and against Imperial Guard as well. So not a strong matchups in meta in general. And when I played after the changes, it was even easier. But when we played Tweak in Rumia, the Armor of Contempt didn't change anything at all, since Tyrannies are just wrecking any army, really, and it didn't help for me there either. So I mean, every improvement is much welcome, but I don't think that it brings these two armies, Death Guard and Thousand Suns, up to a really competitive tier for them to be in top 5 or 8 armies. Unfortunately,
I think the point about Armor of Contempt improving already good matchups is very well said. I think that's hitting the nail on the head. I really feel that as well. The other thing is the Armor of Contempt can only help you so much. It is a buff, but you are still paying incredible amount of points for guys that are not very mobile sometimes, and basically for a bunch of defensive stats, which against many opponents and many armies still are not worth it, and they will not get their return in points ever. It is so that, just mm-hmm. not something that those armies can actually pull off, is getting fair trades with their with the amount of points they pay for their defensive buffs. Mm-hmm. If you're going against AP4 Plasma, AP4 or AP5 Plasma with Tau, for example, your survivability barely went up, and it's still killing a lot of Termies a turn.
True that. So before we jump to the next question, which is, was Army of Contempt enough? I wanted to ask you about your experimentation with Blood Angels, because you spoke about Thousand Suns. What about Blood Angels? How did that army do?
They are currently under testing, because funnily enough, I think they might have benefited from our content way bigger than any other army, other than Sisters. Because I really do believe the Sisters got off the best from Armor of Contempt. Both, just small note here, because I think it's very important. They got better at saving, right? And they are not so expensive as other Space Marines, for example. And they are famously great at killing Marines. And they are still doing that very well with their AP4 on Bloody Rose. So they got better themselves, and they got better in the meta. Back to Blood Angels, though. Basically, Sanguinary Guard good is my take here. Because the thing that made them struggle so much is the fact that they do not charge after advancing, of course. They are not white scars. And the amount of out-of-line-of-sight shooting and things like planes, aircraft, shooting at them from basically anywhere on the table were withering them down quite effectively. And before you got into your combat, even on a very dense, very good table, you are still bled enough that your punch never struck hard enough. Now, however, with the Armor of Contempt and having basically a 0+ saving cover because of 2+ base, +1 from Armor of Contempt, and +1 from cover, and the lack of out of line of sight shooting, actually means there is a good chance of you making it through the table into your opponent with your Sanguinary squads almost intact. And it did prove to work from my experience. I took them for a spin during my local tournament last Sunday, and I did manage to win that tournament playing against a Borkan Tau list, a very good list against a good player who is one of my teammates for Prague. And that is something that would not be, I think, possible before that Armor of Contempt change.
So can
and
you tell
it
us
would
what,
be
what...
possible with with Thousand Suns as well, I think. I feel like.
So for the curious listener, what was the list?
It was because of the funny format, we were playing like 1,905 points instead of a full 2K. That was 24 Sanguinary Guard, 5 Death Company, all with Thunder Hammers. Like 5 Inceptor Incursors.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm at the point where I'm mixing all my primary Space Marines as well.
After so much painting, I would be.
There was like 2 Speeder Storms, 5 Van Vets with claws and chain swords, some Servitors. Basically, it was all melee, with a good amount of characters. Thrown in there for like 500 points. So Sanguinary Priest, Sanguinary Ancient, a Chaplain, Dante was there as well. So that's a very aggressive list focused only on melee with basically no shooting capabilities or serious shooting capabilities at all. That relies on pressure. And because I managed to go first against that Tau list, which was very strong as well, I did manage to scrape out a 15-5 win against it.
Very nice. Okay, just you know, for the record, what were your other matchups?
The first one was a Chaos Demons list, but against the skill differential was visible, and the other one was as interesting Chaos Space Marines. The Space Marines list with the Brass Scorpion combined with some Chaos Demons with the Impossible Robe, Lord of Change, some Nurglings. Not a very competitive list, to be honest, but damn was that nice to see a Brass Scorpion worth 520 points blow up in the first turn due to 5 Death Company Marines. That was
sounds
such
amazing.
A lovely side.
At least you had fun. Okay, anything else that you faced?
No, those three basically, right? And then the final was the Tower Borkan list, which was actually difficult, right?
Okay, cool. Joker, if I asked you today to create a list, a Thousand Suns list, that would go to a tournament, what would you include? Would Terminators still be the go-to unit, or would you try anything else?
Yep, Terminators are undisputedly the best unit that Codex has to offer. So it would still be 20 Terminators, basically a couple of HQ characters, buffing guys, and some Zangors to screen out, and a unit of Spawn to counterpunch or help with the screening. I guess that now maybe I think about splashing in a unit of Dreadblade Knights, but I haven't given it too much thought, to be honest.
Okay.
I think you definitely take Knights now. If you're, we are talking singles list, Thousand Suns need to take those Knights. I think they are a great addition. And they might be good enough to just win over you some matchups. I think the fact that you can take 3 small army gears into your list for basically free for a small investment will benefit the army more than Armor of Contempt did. I truly believe that. I have not tested it yet because when being focused around team events, it's hard to feel... like take those knights and tell your team that they are not available for anyone else. so which is a problem. But I think in the context of singles, those three knights, either Hervorins, maybe Huntsman, look incredible.
Okay, that's an interesting recommendation. I wanted to ask about another kind of a list, because today I've listened to another podcast, also like of our friends, the Normal Blokes from the land down under. And there is a notorious Thousand Suns player, Liam Hackett, who apparently went to a team tournament and brought Thousand Suns without any Terminators. So he took only Rubric Marines, Ahriman, a Rhino, I can't remember what else, but probably that's mainly it. And he took them as Cult of Mutation instead of Cult of Time for the psychic power that cuts someone's movement in half. And apparently it scored him some good points and his team won the tournament. I mean, not only because of that list, but he sounded very convincing when he was talking about that. Would you ever consider a list like that, or does it sound too squishy? Pumba.
I would need to give it a lot of thought before even considering it. I think it is designed to be less... I think it would be less flexible. What I mean by that, I think even in your worst matchups as Thousand Suns, you should not be losing 20-0. The army is too has way too good of objectives play, way too good of a defensive profile still to be tabled so fast that you cannot score some points.
Mm-hmm.
And a list that is built entirely out of rubrics, I think, can fall apart much quicker. However, it might also have some better matchups as well that the traditional list focused around Terminators would not have. So that is something that you need to take account for in your team building. I think that kind of list might have a spot, but for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for a team tournament.
Exactly. Probably. Like, you would need to see the whole team composition to understand what that list was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good take. Asarnyu, same question as the Joker. Just let's change the keyword to Death Guard. If you were going to a tournament tomorrow, what would definitely be in your list? What would maybe be in your list? And what would not, you know, make the cut?
Well, actually, I have a couple of ideas for new rosters for Death Guard. Some of them actually don't include Terminators at all. But the problem is that there aren't too many tournaments, at least for me right now, so I don't have time and opportunity to really test them all. But ideas, I have too much of them, actually, about new lists. What I think is competitive right now from Death Guard perspective is a very well-rounded list with Terminators, probably Death Shrouds, most likely, some drones for some mobility, couple of crawlers or haulers, the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the question always is, do you bring Mortarion with you in your Death Guard list? And I think both options are viable. I'm focusing right now more on bringing the Mortarion to the battlefield rather than that, but I'm also tempted to leave him at home and bring more of little guys to the tournament. So definitely still the good old Death Shrouds and the same units that we always bring, but there are more options. I'm actually thinking about a kind of crazy list with 30 possessed Death Guards and just, you know, a pure pressure. A little bit similar to what Pumba, you were saying about Sanguinary Guards. Of course, much less survivable, but still a lot of pressure, quite mobile unit for Death Guard, but that's definitely something that needs to be tested if it's just seems to be good on paper and not really working, or is there a secret gem there hidden?
Okay, what about your totally against the meta Terminus Est's spam list? Is that will that see play again, or is this list done for?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think I'm done with the list for now. It doesn't gain anything from the recent buffs, and it has all the downsides from the recent nerfs. So, and unfortunately, all the new armies, either Eldari or Tyranids, I think they can easily beat this list. With the amount of mortal wounds and a lot of movements and a lot of attacks from warriors, for example, the Tyranids, I think they will just kill all the Poxwalkers really quickly. And so there's no answer from Terminus Est, which should be being durable and staying alive, and that's just will not happen. So I think for now the recent buffs offer too much for the other lists, and to really think about Terminus Est list and its viability. I think we should keep the Poxwalkers at home for
off
now.
Off the table. Mm. Yeah. And and what about the possibility of mixing Death Guard with Knights? Would you ever consider that, or is that not your style?
Yes, well, definitely it's a really nice proposition to get free army gears, or well, war dogs really, or a bigger knight, because Death Guard, in my opinion, is really struggling with shooting phase. There aren't very much good units that you can field and be sure that they will shoot something effectively. We do have crawlers and howlers, and at the very beginning there were dreadnoughts also being played, but it's not the best, let's say it like that. So bringing some Chaos Knights for fire support, it definitely is a good idea, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's definitely to be tested. I probably will not go this route, since I want to stick with pure Death Guard list. But potentially, yes, there's definitely some options there.
Okay, that's cool to hear. So no hope lost. Guys, I wanted to ask you about an army that none of you play, but you definitely face at tournaments. So I wanted to ask you about Grey Knights, because when you look at foreign tournaments, when I listened to, I think, the Thursday show from Frontline Gaming, Dustin Henshaw, he nominated Grey Knights as the potential winners of some tournaments upcoming, because apparently they are also very strong beneficiaries of Armor of Contempt. The rest of the changes in the data state also help them. So what do you think? Are they a strong contender or not very much? Pumbaa, what do you think?
Well, I have a list already.
You do?
Of course. Like, that's one of the things when you're a part of the national team, you need to be ready for anything. And especially now that the meta is still unsolved, I have a list ready for testing with Grey Knights. I think they might have some play. There are different routes you can take now, which is quite interesting, and different opinions flying around. They still do suffer, many of those ideas and list ideas do suffer from similar issues. However, they have different kinds of strengths. So I think many people are floating Paladins as a great option now, with the spell for +1 armor save for them. They are effectively a 0 up save, or like -1 in cover from shooting, which is absurd, and it sounds absurd. The problem is if that is not good enough, right? And it might not be good enough against some armies, talking like Sisters again, some AP4 Elder, or just a Mortal Wound spam. They do have a 5+ to ignore 4 Mortal Wounds, natively, which is very helpful against things like Tyranids. Rhinos I especially like now, and they use the Rhinos extensively with the Interceptors. So there are clear ways of them being the probable best Space Marines factions now. I have not tested them yet, so I cannot say anything conclusively, but they do seem to benefit from other more contempt the most in some different ways, because they are perhaps the best suited for the meta that is happening around them. Not just the Armor of Contempt itself, but that the fact that they probably might be the best Space Marines against the meta. Like the Nemesis Dread Knights still shoot good. What I like about them is they can find angles on the tables because of the teleportation to shoot at stuff like Elder, which don't want to be shot at all. So there are ways for them to be really good right now. And I can absolutely see how they are being nominated as potential tournament winners.
Okay. Joker, let's say that, you know, you are at a tournament right now, and your Tournament Keeper app says that next up is an opponent who plays Grey Knights. Would you be afraid of that matchup? Or do you think Thousand Suns have the tools to deal with them efficiently?
No, I think that would be not a very good matchup, to be honest. I mean, you've lost a bit of what was your strength, which is your good AP2 on almost all of your shooting. And, well, they also seem to be leaning more towards like paladins, for example, and units that are, well, good beat sticks in combat, which is not something you like. Obviously, on paper, they've got plus one to deny the witch test, so that makes your buffing harder, and all that anti-psycho jazz, as well as, yeah, the five of female pain against mortal wounds. So it wasn't really a great matchup before, and I don't think it's gotten any better now.
Okay. Asarani, how about Death Guard and the same matchup?
I don't think the matchup really changed. Death Guard already was not in a good place against Grey Knights. Good news is that there will be less Nemesis Dread Knights, right? Mm-hmm. People will probably go towards either Paladins or the Power Armor Fast Guys. I don't remember what they called. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Which is for Death Guard not bad. A lot of damage too, which is always a great thing to see against Death Guard. I mean, from Death Guard perspective, of course. But yeah, I wouldn't say that is a favorable matchup for Death Guard. It definitely feels like a difficult one, but not an unbeatable one, I would say.
Okay, all right. Pumba, if you could really quickly explain to us how have the sisters changed in the data slate. What gives them the power now? Because you seem to have a lot of respect for them. Where is that respect coming from?
Sisters are historically, since 8th edition at least, very good against power armor armies and space marines. They are basically Repentia, along with stuff like Zephyrim, even the Celestians, everything is statted very effectively against the defensive Space Marines profiles, along with the fact that they are costed like very competitively against a typical power armor. Basically, they are not paying for the wound or toughness 4, which some of the time. Let's be honest here, very, very often that wound and an extra point of toughness has no impact on your survivability. So basically a sister can die as easily as any other Space Marine. And they are not paying for those extra defensive stats. Now you have the Armor of Contempt working on your whole army, which is quite nice. You are no longer required to suffer all of the lost shooting that you were which was one of the greatest ways to deal with sisters, especially stuff like that I've mentioned, like Repentia or Zephyrim, which just died in droves to stuff like AFPs or old Hiveguard. That now is gone, essentially. So on a dance table, on a WTC style table that we are used to playing in Poland, they usually will find a spot to hide or advance throughout the midboard and threaten your opponent from there, with them being relatively safe. So you can initiate a good, potentially good trades. You can go all in if the matchup is right. You are great into power armor, as we've discussed, and that didn't really change actually with Armor of Contempt, because you are effectively AP 4 on most of your offensive units. So we are talking Meltas on Retributors? No.
Mm-hmm.
Are they called Retributors?
So. All right. They are.
Retributors on AP4 and Zephyrim, or Repentia in Corbaz, if we are talking Bloody Rose, and I would consider Bloody Rose to be absolutely the superior order. So yeah, basically, if Space Marines will emerge, as they will often do, right? They are a very popular army still. Sisters will come back, and that helped him by itself, as long as every other change in the data slate that I've discussed.
Okay, all right. Now, we sort of, we sort of wished away certain mechanics, as you said, Pumba, when we were talking, I think it was in the last quarter of last year, about the mechanics. We wished away the bodyguard rule is gone. It works differently. We wished away indirect shooting. It's pretty much non-existent anymore. If you could wish away any other mechanic in the game that, or anything in the game currently that could help your Pumba, since you're the expert on Space Marines, that could help the Space Marines, what would that be?
Removing the Eldari keyword from the game.
Really? So is that such a bad touch for Space Marines?
It is historically a bad touch for Space Marines. I did not enjoy getting beaten up by Inari in 7th and 8th, and I'm not enjoying the new elves as well. So, all kinds of elves are just the worst for Space Marines, and they have always been. That is just a thing that is happening constantly. And they will struggle. I mean, it's hard to imagine a world in which Space Marines are actually like the top oppressive dogs. That happened with Iron Hands. That was a huge thing that goes really bad press, very, very fast and spread wide. And I cannot imagine that coming back ever. The nature of the game is that Space Marines should be decent, but I don't think they will ever be dominant, which is fine. And actually, I'm completely fine with that. They are a popular army. They are kind of a beginner army as well, in that sense. But yeah, I think the Eldari, in general, since the I still remember how excited I was about playing Dark Angels and how Drukhari killed that dream of mine. And I will not forget them that. So yeah.
Okay. Happy DE noises. Joker, same to you. Thousand Sons. Which game mechanic would you wish away to make them better?
Oh, game mechanic. That's
or anything actually in the game. What should disappear to make them better?
Should disappear. I think I need a little bit more thinking on
that. Yeah, I know it's a strange question. So I don't know, Asarnyu, maybe you have some.
I'd rather not have things disappear, but I'd like to have things appear.
Maybe. So that's my next question. So just hold this thought, because that's my next question. Which already, you know, reveals what the next question is going to be. So Pumbaa and Asarnyu can prepare. But Asarnyu, is there anything in the game that should, you know, perish for the better of DG?
Yeah, well, I have two responses to that, Twig. And
I know one. I know one. It's Tyranids, right?
No, that would be too easy. No. first one is very generic or you know, general for the whole game. And I know that it's not going away ever, but the amount of power creep that we are seeing is just absurd, really. I mean, let's compare Codex from this year to the Codex from last year, and it's really I don't even have words how big of a difference between these codexes is. So that's one, but I know that it will not disappear at all, and that's you know, I can understand
the nature of the game,
why. Yeah. But on the more specific note, I think what should disappear from the game is ignoring inv saves. This is something that I truly, truly hate. I mean, not only we have now AP4 and AP5, or I don't know, but the only thing that was left to defend against that is the inv save. And now it seems like every army has way to ignore inv save, and you know, for every battle something does something that, you know, 4++ is no longer viable. And I can understand that, you know, there are, you know, some single one or two very special characters that can bypass inv save, but if it's you know, every second unit in the game, that's just not cool.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Although I do think ignoring saves is good when you play against Tau drones. I hate those little bastards, but yeah, that's a different story for a different podcast. Anyway, as I said, the next question, if you could improve the army somehow. So if you could have one thing that, for example, other armies have, again, what would that be? And I'll start with Joker this time. So what would you like to see in Thousand Suns that maybe you've seen somewhere else that would help the army but make it broken?
I think what I would most like to see is to have the core keyword added to some units that could actually properly benefit from the amazing relic that is Eglogain's Orrery. Because with the units that make use of it now, it just feels a little bit lackluster.
Okay, all right, that's very specific, but I get your point. Pumbaa?
Space Marines. How would I think it's down to cost, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah,
I think it's all. I think it's time and time again, it all comes down to points and the amount of points Space Marines pay for anything, really. But especially troops, I think, are just annoyingly overcosted for what they do and for their capabilities, offensive and defensive. So I think that is the main thing. If I could jump on the Thousand Suns for a quick second there, for actually, I think, both questions, I think limiting amount of mortal wounds in the game would be beneficial. It is kind of a thing that Asarnyu mentioned, like ignoring invuln saves, but mortal wounds do exactly that. And now that is very much prevalent in the game. You have units that can easily deal around 10 mortals in a round. So, by the way, one of them is a Thousand Sun Sorcerer. But that is all he does for like 150 points. And that's compared to like a Maleceptor or a Hive Tyrant with a Reaper of Obliterax. I think those units have no place in the game. I think you shouldn't be able to remove to bypass a defensive profile of a unit completely for that amount of damage at once. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Those are all very good points. So fingers crossed that those things actually happen, that they take place. Asarnia, I still haven't asked you. What would you like to see in Death Guard that is currently missing to make them more competitive?
Well, you know what, Twig? I would like to the most survivable army in the lore of Warhammer 40K to be actually survivable. That would be nice. There's a lot of discussion in the Death Guard community about what to do realistically, really, because you know there are some crazy ideas. What we can think about when we talk about improving survivability of Death Guard, and one of the main ideas that pops up really frequently is to bring back Feel No Pain across the whole army. I'm not sure if it won't be too much. I mean, 6+ would be definitely too little. 5+ with the damage reduction might be a little bit too much. But if it happens, that would definitely bring up the survival aspect of the army.
Yeah, it definitely would force other players to, again, think differently about this building and preparing for that matchup. So would be interesting to see. Again, fingers crossed, because I would like to see, you know, even more Death Guard on the battlefield. So hopefully that happens. So we sort of did that. You guys sort of did that throughout the entirety of the episode. But still, I'll ask you for a sort of a summary sentence. How do you assess the meta right now, post data slate? Having played a couple of games, seeing which armies came out stronger, which armies came out weaker or the same. Is the game after the data slate in a good spot, or does it still need some tweaks? Pumpa.
I think the meta has shifted very much. I think the meta is unsolved to an extent, which is very important to note here. And I think, objectively, the meta vastly improved. From the state of the Harlequins and from what we had previously, I would consider the meta to be objectively decent, which is better than you could say most of the time throughout the history of 40K. I think most of the armies in the game have at least some play on the table, if not against the very top of the top armies, which I would consider to be three of those, in Tyranids, Kraftwerk Eldar, and Thau. And I think those three armies do dominate, and if you want to win a tournament, you have a vastly improved chance of doing so with any of those three. I think Tyranids especially, to be quite honest, but all of them. But now bringing stuff that you have lying on the shelves will not automatically put you on the bottom table, which is a big thing, let's be honest. I think many Space Marines lists will find success, especially in the less hyper-competitive environments. And like GTs of like 50 people, 50-person GTs across the US, for example. I think the amount of players and just trying to dodge these incredibly tough matchups or playing them super well will mean some of the power armor will return to top threes, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. And I generally am hoping for the meta to be even better after the points drop. Hopefully they won't nerf your Terminators, because that has already fucking happened, by the way. So that is me saying that I'm hopeful for chapter approved might not be a good thing to say, right?
Yeah, I'm hopeful, but a little bit scared.
So, Asarniu, about you, how do you assess the meta? Does Death Guard have a stand a chance of, you know, winning a tournament, or is it just a, well, far-fetched sort of dream?
I'm a little bit more pessimistic than Pumba in my view of the meta right now. I still think that the difference between top tier armies and low tier armies is huge. Definitely it's closer than it was. I think we all agree that both the last data slate and the FAQ for Tyranids changed quite a lot and improved a lot, so it's better, but I think for a perfect balance or near perfect balance we are really far away still. And in terms of Death Guard, I would still consider it's a B tier. Really, you know, some matchups are just strictly unwinnable, and with a lot of top tier armies, Death Guard is still really struggling. It's like we said at the beginning, the matchups that are good are just better, and the rest of it is still really challenging.
Okay. Joker?
What was the question again?
How do you assess the meta right now?
How do I assess the meta? Well, I think most importantly, like we said in the beginning, it's much better than it was 2 or 3 months ago. You actually now have the energy or the drive to play the game, which I think, it was definitely missing a bit for me at the time. And I want to say it's in as good a place as it can be, because obviously with the release of each book, there's going to be power creep. I mean, the, obviously in an ideal world there shouldn't be, but that's just the way it is so far historically in every edition pretty much. So I think that we're almost in a place like we were till the end of 8th. So a couple of older books got fairly good supplements, so the armies were fairly balanced out between each other, and I think that's something that hopefully will happen again. But obviously for that to happen, we first need a proper codex for some of the armies that are running on really, really, really old, like 5 years old books, like, I know, Guard, Demons. Mm-hmm. I think those aren't like the only ones left, with Chaos Space Marines soon to be released. So yeah, like I said, it's gotten better, but it's not perfect.
Okay. And last but not least, I think this will be the last question of the podcast for today. If you were going to a team tournament right now, let's say with teams of 8, would you bring power armor in that composition? Let's assume that you are the captain of the team. You decide what comes and what stays at home. Asarniu, would you bring any of the power armor armies to that army composition?
Well, of course I would bring Death Guard.
No. That's your baby, of course.
Yeah. But on a serious note, power armor, definitely. There's a lot of potential, and you know, we have to kind of reinvent the wheel again with all the changes happening. And even if we consider the new chapter approved that will happen soon, and all the changes that are already announced by Games Workshop that will happen, all these factors can really push a secret roster of, you know, some Space Marines to the top. And we definitely should be looking into, you know, new creative ways of discovering, you know, new army lists. And I definitely think that there is a room for power armor. Even for now, you know, like Grey Knights and Thousand Suns, I think they're very viable right now. And Dark Angels were kind of already good before the patch, and now they just got better. And specifically, they can counter some, you know, also specific lists. So for team tournament, I would definitely see Power Armor in top eight armies.
Okay, Joker.
Yeah, I'd take a Power Armor army as well. I mean, not sure which one. Not sure if it will be Space Marines or more like the Sisters. But yeah, I think they might have a place in your top eight.
Okay. Pumba, is the national team, the Polish national team, actually considering any specific Power Armor armies right now?
Yes, obviously. Like, as I've said, I'm testing like five different armies at the moment. But there is no conclusion here, at least for now. And I don't think there will be a straight-up conclusion for the till their very last moment. Which Power Armor Space Marines you would bring is very up in the air. I think one will make it into the team. Probably not more than that. But it all requires extensive testing, is all I'm going to say. I have no idea which one is the best right now. But at least they are now considerable, as we have not seen them in the national team compositions for... I mean, Space Marines we've dropped like 1.5 years ago now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's a resurgence at least.
Yeah, it's a welcome sight, definitely. All right, guys, I think that covers it. So I thank you all for participation. To our listeners, as usual, please give us a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Follow us on different podcast media. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're here on YouTube, pretty much everywhere. So help us grow. Give us those thumbs up. And we will repay with more awesome content. And to my guests, again, thanks for joining, and thank you for your comprehensive points of view. I hope you will join us in the future. And with that, thank you, everyone. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.